this is a story, Passover, of miraculous transitions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
From slavery to freedom, from despair to hope, from darkness to light, from wandering in the desert to reclining in the upper room. Mm. Its greatness is the very greatness of God.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and my husband Todd and I pastor Christ Fellowship Church together. The So Good Sisterhood podcast is all about investing in every girl from every generation to live intentionally, lead confidently, and love generously. And hopefully, it will leave you saying, that was so good. Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and I just want to thank you for joining me today and all season long. And this season, we've been taking a deep dive into our word of the year, encounter. And that word means a face-to-face meeting. And I don't know about you, but I am blown away to think that the God of the universe, the God of the cosmos who created it all, wants to have a face-to-face encounter with me and with you. And we see this all throughout Scripture. And sometimes we don't clearly see the encounters that happened thousands of years ago, maybe in the Old Testament, how they relate to us today. But I believe that there are some ancient practices that are really pathways to encounter God in a whole new way. I'm so excited because today I have my good friend, Sherry Bouts, in the studio. Sherry is a mom of three, a grandma of four with one on the way. She's a successful financial advisor. She has her master's degree in theology from Columbia University and is an incredible Bible teacher. And what I love the most is her passion to share her faith from the perspective of her Jewish heritage. Sherry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Julie. I am so happy to be here with you.
We're so excited to have you. And really, today's kind of a special day because today, speaking of your Jewish heritage, it's actually the last day of Passover.
It is.
Right?
And, perfect.
And you guys are celebrating this as a family, and I can't wait to dig into that a little bit. But, you know, a little bit about your friendship and with Todd and me is that we have been dear friends for many years now. You are a prayer warrior. You're part of our intercessor team. And we have had some beautiful memories together. And many of those memories have been traveling to the Holy Land together. We've been to Israel together several times. And I have to confess, I'm a little bit intimidated whenever I am teaching in Israel, especially around you. And that's because I feel like there's this like really special anointing on your teaching when we're in Israel. I mean, you just, it feels like you are just at home with your people, right? When we're over there. And you've said before that you are a true blue Jew, right?
Yes.
You've told us that. I'd love for you to explain to our listeners, what is that? A like, true blue Jew?
Like that is a very funny expression, yeah. Right? True blue Jew. What could
you
that possibly mean?
That.
Thank you. I'll call myself that. And by the way, your teachings in Israel are magnificent. I love them. But it is true. When I am in that land with you, I do feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly home. Mm-hmm. Well, I am a true blue Jew. You introduced me as Sherry Bouts.
Right.
But my full name is Sherry Levy Bouts. And speaking of Israel, Levy is like Smith in Israel. Very common name. I say I'm true blue Jew because I am Jewish on both sides as far back as you can reach. And I remember you crazy Christians trying to share Jesus with me. And I would just push you away. Mm-hmm. All I had to say was, hey, I'm Jewish. And to me, that was enough. That was enough of an answer. Mm-hmm. I could just put up my hand and walk away. That was like my get out of jail free card. That's all I needed to mm-hmm. say. But then the Lord raptured my heart.
Wow.
Can I share that story?
Yeah, please share your story.
So I remember when I was 19 years old and my parents invited me to join them on a trip to California. They were going out on business and they said, hey, do you want to come along? I'm like this cool kid, never been to California. Yes, I want to go. But as soon as I got there, I left them in their hotel room and walked down to the beach. It happened to be Newport Beach, the same beach from Jesus Revolution.
Yeah, right.
I walked on down, walked up to the first cute surfer I saw on the beach, and I said these words to him, and sorry, Frank, this was before your time, right? But I walked up to this cute surfer, and I said to him, hey, where do people party around here?
Mm.
And he looked at me. I'll never forget it. And he said, well, I'm not really into that.
Mm.
And we sat down on the beach that day, and he shared the gospel with me. It was the first time I had ever heard it. And I got to tell you, I was shocked at what I heard.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. He told me that Jesus died on the cross for me. I had never heard that before. Wow. And that he didn't stay dead. He resurrected so that I could have brand new life. That was absolutely amazing Incredible. To me. Mm-hmm. An absolute shock. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Well, he gave me a little gift that day. He gave me a copy of the Gospel of John. I had never held the Word of God in my hand before. I was amazed to be holding it. I attended the Washington Hebrew congregation, right? Mm-hmm. And this was this gorgeous big sanctuary. And the rabbi would go up on the bima and this big, huge ark would open up and he'd lift these giant 4-foot Torahs above his head. And he would say, "This is the Torah." And he would hold it. Just sounded like the lion from Wizard of Oz, I always thought. But he would hold it up, but we would never touch it.
Mm-hmm.
We would never go near it.
Wow.
So suddenly I am holding a copy of the Gospel of John, which I read tucked in a Time magazine because my parents certainly could not see me reading that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, don't you know, the Word of God alone, the Word of God began to melt my heart. For we know the Word of God is living and active, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the division of soul and spirit, judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Mm-hmm. The Word of God alone moved in my heart. By the time I landed back in the Washington, D.C. area, I was beginning to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then divine appointment after divine appointment, everyone I met after that trip knew Jesus and wanted to share him with me. It was only a matter of months before I had come to the place where I received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Mm-hmm. I remember praying that prayer. And for me, this crazy partying girl, this 19-year-old college kid, everything changed. I was brand new. I felt brand new. I was so filled with the presence of God. I was so excited that I went home to tell mom and dad, right?
And I bet they were just as excited as you were, right?
I mean, I was thrilled. My mom and dad, look at me. Look how good I look. Look how happy I am. So I went into the house and I said, "Mom and dad, I believe in Jesus now. I'm a Christian." Yeah. And I'll never forget their faces as the oxygen was sucked out of the room. And they looked at me and they said, "Well, you can't. You can't be a Christian. You're a Jew." It's as if they said to me, "You can't be a dog, you're a cat."
Right.
Like that's a different species. Mm-hmm. You are just not allowed to do this. Well, the night progressed and the conversation got harder and harder, and really shock gave in to some rage, and there was a lot of yelling that night. And I remember at the end of the night, my parents looked at me and they said, "If you're serious about this, like if you are serious about this Jesus thing, well, then you can have no part with us."
Wow.
I mean, that was a painful moment. Wow. Well, I got in my car, went back to college, back to my dorm, back to my cool friends, because surely, like, they would be excited. Look at the change in me. I mean, wouldn't they be excited? Yeah. Well, all my friends were mostly Jewish. And after I shared with them my good news, they all got together and within just a few hours decided they would never speak to me again. And they didn't. Can you imagine the loneliness and the isolation of that moment?
No. I mean, 19 years old, all alone.
Yeah.
In your college dorm. But God was still faithful, because I know more to the story.
Yeah, there is more to the story.
You did not stay lonely. You continued on your college years, and even though you lost some friends, you found a really good friend
I found a really good friend. You know the Lord loves us, right?
He does.
He loves us. Yeah. He loves us. He loves us. And he knows exactly what we need. Well, it was during that season of real loneliness that the Lord brought me Frank.
Frank.
I remember not only had I met somebody that was going to encourage me in my walk with God, but he encouraged me by introducing me to all of his friends. And suddenly, not only did I have him, I had his community.
Yeah.
I had a new family and a new set of friends that I grew with.
Yeah.
Well, Frank and I became
Frank
good friends,
and Jerry.
Right?
Yes.
And then we became better friends, and then we fell in love. So it was time to introduce him to mom and dad.
Remember? And I bet they were thrilled.
Yeah, remember mom and dad? Yeah. So we go home to introduce him to mom and dad. And Frank, he shows up in a white vet. Not bad, right? Impressive.
Right. That's amazing. A Corvette?
Unfortunately, not a Corvette. No. It was a Chevette, right?
Todd had one of those. He had a Chevette. Our guys were classy.
Be proud, right? But it wasn't the car that really upset my dad the most. Mm-hmm. It was the bumper sticker on the back of the car. Because on the back of Frank's car, it said in big red type, I love Jesus.
Aww. Yeah.
Well, it was bad enough I was a follower of Jesus. It was worse that I was now marrying one. But then, a couple years into our marriage, we quit our jobs, our prosperous jobs, and went off to seminary to become pastors.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oy vey, yes. Right? That was the end of that story. Mm-hmm. So that is my testimony.
That is your testimony. But it continues on. We don't have time for it all. How long have you and Frank been married now?
We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Oh my goodness, 40th anniversary. Yeah. And your parents did come around after a while. They loved your kids and now your grandkids. It's such a beautiful testimony of just staying faithful for 40 years and God just restored your family.
I'll jump in with that a little bit. The reason that my parents came around was Frank. Frank's faithfulness to love them and serve them. Wow. He is the one out of the entire family that cared for them physically, financially, and every way he undergird for my parents. Mm-hmm. And that changed their heart.
That's amazing. So don't give up. If you're praying for someone who might be, you know, against you, against your relationship with Jesus, that there's always hope, right?
Always.
It's amazing.
Hey everyone, Carissa here. You know, one of my favorite things I love most about the podcast is the conversations I get to have with my friends. From favorite quotes to so good moments to devotionals, Show Notes Plus gives me the opportunity to discuss and dive deeper into the content. It's also a great way to stay up to date on everything happening in sisterhood. Click the link in our show notes so you don't miss out on anything.
A few minutes ago, you said something about those crazy Christians who would, you know, who would try to witness to you, and you were kind of put off by that.
Completely.
What advice would you give, you know, someone that might have some friends of the Jewish faith who they're trying to love into the kingdom? I mean, obviously, you gave some great advice. Frank probably led the way and just loved people really well. But what else would you say for someone that might have someone in their life that they love and care about and want to share the gospel with them?
I am so happy you have asked that, because this is a real burden of my heart, so I appreciate this. Here is the most important thing to know when sharing Jesus with Jewish people. Jews are not converted. Jews are completed.
Wow.
Very beautiful. Important to know that. When a Jew decides to follow Jesus, they don't stop being Jewish. Judaism is more than a belief system. It's a deeply rooted heritage. It's a very strong identity.
I love that.
Once a Jew decides to receive Jesus as their Messiah, they may believe differently, but they don't have to give up their identity. Their Jewish identity is still there. In fact, it is completed. Mm-hmm. For me, the day I became a follower of Jesus, I like to call that day the day I became a real Jew. Mm-hmm. Because now I know him. Mm-hmm. I know him personally.
Beautiful.
I am more Jewish than I have ever been before. My Jewish Messiah is mine.
Yeah.
So
I love that. And what I love the most is that when you gave your heart to Jesus, you didn't leave your Jewish heritage in your past, that you carried some of those traditions with you into your own family. And like I said earlier, we are on the last day of Passover today. And one of those ancient traditions that you are passionate about remembering is Passover. And I would love for you to share a little bit about, you know, why you still celebrate Passover, even as a Christian, and why as believers should acknowledge this amazing ancient tradition.
I mean, I think that's a great question. I mean, why are we celebrating Passover? We're a church, right? I mean, what are we doing?
Easter.
Right, we just did Easter. What is Passover? What does it have to do with Easter? Well, a whole lot, right? The scriptures command us. They tell us that this is a day to remember. Passover is important to God. It's so important to him that he commands we celebrate it every year without fail. Celebrating Passover is a permanent law. Let me read the scripture to you from Exodus 12. This is a day to remember. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord, for it will remind you that I brought you out of the land of Egypt. This is a permanent law for you.
Wow.
He wants us to remember. Mm-hmm. He wants to remind us that he is our great deliverer. Mm-hmm. And He wants us to take this very personally, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Listen to this mm-hmm. other verse in Exodus 13. And you shall tell your son in that day, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. He wants us to take this personally.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I love that.
You know, God has got a great nickname. I love this one nickname that he calls himself. He uses it 71 times in the Old Testament. You can't go far in the Bible without hearing this. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
He wants mm-hmm. us to remember.
Yes, yes.
I mean, this is a story, Passover, of miraculous transitions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
From slavery to freedom, from despair to hope, from darkness to light, from wandering in the desert to reclining in the upper room.
Mm.
Its greatness is the very greatness of God.
Beautiful. I love that. So for some people that might be listening, why don't you take us through just a little bit of this story of Passover? Because if the scripture commands us that we need to remember Passover,
right.
some people that may be listening may not be familiar with the story. And why don't you share a little bit of that story and why it's important?
Absolutely. I would love to. In fact, there is a moment in the Seder, and it's everyone's favorite moment,
mm-hmm.
when Papa tells the story of Moses and the Passover. Can I share something kind of comical with you, though, personally?
Sure.
I don't think Moses was a very good Jew. Like, that's kind of crazy,
yeah.
right? But think about it for just a second. He was born a Jew. He wore the marks of a Jew. I mean, he was circumcised, right? Otherwise, how else could Pharaoh's daughter have known he was a Jew? Like yarmulke, Jewish star? I don't think so, right?
Right.
But he grew up his first 40 years as an Egyptian prince.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not very Jewish.
Yeah.
Then he had that little murder problem, ran out of town, became a shepherd for the next mm-hmm. 40 years with a father-in-law named Jethro. Well, that's not very Jewish,
no.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So here he is, 80 years old. And though he is Jewish, he's not a very good Jew, not yet. But then at age 80, he sees a tumbleweed roll by. Well, that's not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
The tumbleweed's on fire. Still not that unusual. But the tumbleweed is not consumed. Now, that's pretty unusual. And the tumbleweed begins to speak,
right? Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of this burning bush, God says to Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy mm-hmm. ground. And at that moment, Moses has an encounter with mm-hmm. the living God. And Moses the goy becomes Moses the Jew.
Right.
And that's for all of us, that mm-hmm. we need to have that encounter
right.
with the living God mm-hmm. so that we would know him as Moses does.
So good.
Well, at that moment, now Moses gets his marching orders. He's age 80, and now he gets a new job description. He's to head on down to Egypt and be the one to lead Israel to freedom. They have been slaves to Egypt for 400 years, and God is now using Moses to let my people mm-hmm. go. Now, you would understand, of course, that Pharaoh might need a little convincing that Moses has actually heard from God. So God sends along with Moses the 10 plagues. 9 of those plagues mostly just affected Egypt. But the 10th plague, the worst plague, the death of the firstborn, that plague would affect both Egypt and Israel. So to protect Israel, God gives Moses very detailed instructions, very specific plans. And these instructions give us the basis of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this scripture in Exodus 12. This is what God tells Moses. Each family must choose a lamb with no defects, otherwise holy. They must slaughter that lamb and collect all the blood in a basin. And then they are to take that blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames. On that night, I will strike down every firstborn son, but the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign. When I see that blood, I will pass over. That's where we get the word, mm-hmm. Passover. Death will not touch mm-hmm. you. But you see, it was not enough for the blood to be spilled. It had to be applied.
Right.
Papa used that hyssop branch. And he painted the top and the doorposts, and he let it splash back down to the basin, forming a cross, forming a great sign. It says in the scriptures that it will serve as a sign. Well, what a powerful
wow. mm-hmm.
prophetic sign as the blood goes up to the top, side mm-hmm. to side, and back down again, forming a cross, mm-hmm. sealing the door and serving as a sign. Mm-hmm. They were quite literally saved by the blood of the Lamb.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, isn't that what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Jesus was the final Passover Lamb. Mm-hmm. Without defect, sinless, his shed blood on the cross redeemed us for all time. He died on the cross. And when he died, it affected the whole world.
Right.
But it did not affect your world.
Mm-hmm.
Not until you took the hyssop of your own confession of faith and applied the already spilled blood of Jesus to the doorposts of your heart so that you could be delivered, so that you could be set free from the bondage of slavery to sin and set free.
Wow.
Now that's taking Passover personally.
Yes.
Amen?
Absolutely. Passover is personal.
Very
Passover
personal.
Passover is personal. Passover, the first Passover was prophetic.
Yeah.
Right? It was prophetic. And, you know, what you're talking about here, you talked about the father, the papa, in the home at the Seder meal, which the Seder meal happens every night at Passover. And so he's telling this story, right? And that you just told it so beautifully. But why don't you connect the dots for us again? Because we're connecting dots from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Great.
And why don't you connect the dots from this Passover, the first Passover in the book of Exodus, mm-hmm. to the Passover meal for Jesus, and what the significance connection is there.
I mean, that's perfect. I would actually like to add a third Passover.
Okay,
so
great.
Let's consider three Passovers.
Three dots
all
you're
the
connecting
same time.
Right now. Okay.
In fact, when I share a Seder in person, I will typically bring 3D glasses and have everybody put them on just to make this point. Because to understand all Jesus wants us to see, we need to see three Passovers at the same time. So 3,500 years ago, Moses, the first Passover, right? Mm-hmm. Let my people go.
Right.
2,000 years ago with Jesus, the final Passover in the upper room, the night he was betrayed.
Mm.
You Gentiles like to call that the Last Supper,
correct.
I believe, right?
Yes.
But that was a Passover Seder.
Yes.
And then today, in Jewish homes all around the world, the modern Passover, as it is celebrated. You see, Passover is a prophetic pointer, just like what you said.
Yeah.
It's a set of runway lights to light up the path of redemption.
Right.
What was announced with Moses was fulfilled with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what has been celebrated ever since in every Jewish home points back to Jesus.
Right, right.
It is all about Jesus.
That's pretty amazing, right? I just think it's so significant that even the timing of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus was at the time of the Passover, right?
Incredible.
I mean, just how strategic that the timing was. And we could go on and on just about how profound that moment is, that of all the days of the year that it could have happened, that it was on that day, on that week, when people were celebrating already. They were celebrating God's redemptive plan. Well, hey, this has been an incredible and rich conversation, and I didn't want to cut it short because there is so much more to learn. So we're going to continue this conversation next week with the second part of Encountering God Through Ancient Traditions with Sherry Bouts. Make sure you tune in. Thank you for joining us today for the So Good Sisterhood podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share this podcast with a friend, or leave us a comment. We hope today's episode leaves you feeling so good.